The following is an excerpt from the Sichas of the night of the day of Tuesday, the night of the day of Vav Erev Shabbos Kedesh, the Shabbos Kedesh Parshas Tetzava, Zayin, Yud, Yud Aleph, Adar Rishon, Heitav Shinun Beis, corresponding to the year 1992. The Rebbe mentions a well-known omission that in this entire Parsha, and this is the only time in the Torah, Moses' name does not appear. In the time that he was born, he is not mentioned in this Parsha, and it's the only one, Parshas Tetzava. And there are two reasons that are given for this. The first reason is, 7th of Adar is when Moshe passed away. That's why in the Parsha that is as close to that day as possible, Parshas Tetzava, there's a hint to his passing, to his departure, by virtue of his name being omitted. The second reason is, Moshe Rabbeinu made a request of God that if he doesn't forgive the Jewish people for the sin of the golden calf, his name should be erased. And even though their sin was forgiven, but nevertheless, one parsha in the Torah was left in which his name was erased, and that is the Parsha of Tetzaveh. But the Rebbe says both of these explanations are not sufficient. The first explanation has the difficulty because, yes, it's true, Moshe Rabbeinu passed away on the 7th of Adar, which is in close proximity to Parsha Tetzaveh, but that is also the day in which he was born. So why is this fact that he was born on this day not worthy of mention? The second explanation is also difficult, because Parshas Tetzava is written in the Torah before the sin of the golden calf, and according to some opinions, it was actually said before the sin of the golden calf. So why should this Parsha have the hint to the erasure of his name in response to his request, erase me from your book? And in general, we have to understand the connection between both of the explanations, because whenever there are two explanations for one verse, there's always a connection between them. In order to understand this, we first have to preface the fact that the Gemara talks about the virtue of Moshe Rabbeinu's birth that transformed the whole month of Adar into a month of joy and happiness, as is written in the scroll of Esther, in the Megillah. HaChedesh asher nepach miyagim l'simcha. It's the month that things were transformed from sorrow to joy, which raises a question. Why is Moshe Rabbeinu's birth such a great source of joy? So the Medrash says that the birth atones for his death. That means that what happened as a virtue of his birth erases the negative connotations of his passing. That means something that is lacking, something that is deficient, is being corrected. And the Medrash brings this after it talks about how Haman decided that the month of Adar was an auspicious month for him to carry out his evil design because it has no merit. And therefore, this month, he said, was a month devoid of any real merits. So the question is, so what's the great joy of this month that his birthday occurs in this month when the birthday only removed the deficiency of his passing, but it has no independent source of joy and positivity, and it's a month without any merit? So the explanation is that we have to first reflect on the difference between the birthday of a person in general and Moshe Rabbeinu's birthday in particular. Concerning a birthday, it says, Mazlei shel ha'adam gever, the mazel of a person is strong. That means that a person has special powers and success on the day in which a person is born. And therefore, the birthday of Moshe Rabbeinu, the leader of all the Jewish people through all the generations, empowers the Jewish people and makes their mazel stronger. And this special merit is so strong that it spreads through and influences the entire month. The entire month of Adar is transformed into a month of joy and happiness. So when the Medrash says that Haman was rejoicing by virtue of his statement that Adar has no merit and its mazel has no merit, he said. And not only that, but in the month of Adar, Moshe Rabbeinu passed away, and he didn't know that in the seventh of Adar he passed away, but it's also the seventh of the Adar in which he was born. What he meant by this, that since Moshe Rabbeinu, what the Gemara meant by this, rather, since Moshe Rabbeinu was born on the seventh of Adar, that is the greatest merit that can possibly be for this month of Adar and its mazel. We're not talking just about kapara, atoning for something negative and remaining even, but we're talking about a phenomenal merit that influences the entire month of Adar. And this merit is especially underscored when you have 2 months of Adar in a leap year, as it was in the year in which the Rebbe said this talk. Number one, you have the month is Chodesh, which comes from the word Chidush. There's a novelty of the moon and the Jewish people who are likened to the moon. That is a double Chidush, a double novelty. Number two, you have 60 days of Adar, and whenever you have 60, a ratio of 60 to 1, it nullifies and neutralizes the 1. So these two months of Adar neutralize all the negatives and even transforms it into something positive. Number three, because of the extra month, the leap month, the sun and the moon experience parity. And this is analogous and a sample of what it says in the future, that the light of the moon will be like the light of the sun. It's associated with redemption. And in the 2 days of Rosh Chodesh of this year, which occurred on a Tuesday and a Wednesday, you also have three qualities that are represented by the Tuesday and the Wednesday. Number one, Tuesday, the third day of the week, is the day in which Hashem used the words Ki Tov, it is good, twice, a double good. Number two, the third day of the week corrects that which was begun on the second day of the week, because it was not concluded until the third day, so it perfected that which was lacking on the second day. And number three, the fourth day of the week is the day in which God put the two luminaries in place, and that, of course, is connected to the redemption, as we mentioned before, that the sun and the moon being equal is a symbol of and a phenomenon of redemption. Also, when you have Gimel and Dalet, the third and fourth day of the week, when you put them together, the word God means mazel, which is connected to the special quality of the month of Adar, in which its mazel is very strong and healthy. To understand this concept even better, we have to first preface the fact that there are two types of mazel. There's the mazel that comes from the stars and the constellations that have influence over the world in which we live, but that applies only to the nations of the world. However, concerning the Jewish people, it says, Ein mazel Yisrael. The Jews do not have a mazel. They do not have, and they're not subject to the controls of the mazel. Number two, there is a mazel that every Jew has, and that's when the source of his soul and his essence of his soul is revealed into the soul, which is contained within the body, because the most significant parts of the soul do not come into the body, they remain above. And that is the quality and the preeminence of the seventh of Adar, the day in which Moshe Rabbeinu was born. And this day, the essence of Moshe Rabbeinu's soul is born and is awakened. And that causes and influences the mazel of every Jew, of every Jewish soul. The second, that a Jewish soul's essence is revealed, is stimulated, they are empowered to stand in face of all obstacles with great mesiras nefesh, with self-sacrifice, not to, God forbid, stray from the desire and the will of God, even if they have to give their lives for that. And that ultimately is what brought the miracle, the salvation of Purim. That's why the day Moshe Rabbeinu passed away was the seventh of Adar, because Adar represents strength. The word Adar comes from the word Adir, Bamarim Hashem. God is mighty in the heavens. And the seventh of Adar is the day in which this godly strength permeates all the days of creation. And the seventh, that's the seventh of Adar, because seven represents the 7 days of creation. And the 7 last days of the month of Adar, and which concludes with Rosh Chodesh Nisan, that forms a connection of godliness with the world, because that's when the Shechina, the Divine Presence, descended into the Mishkan. Now, with regard to the revelation of the essence of the souls of the Jewish people, which is the mazel of the Jewish people, that is very strong in this month, as we said before, it's important, in order for it to be effective, that the essence of the soul should not remain just as the essence of the soul, but it should permeate and influence the Jewish people the way they are here in this world, within the parameters of this world. And that's hinted in the word mazel. Mazel means something that drips down, something that comes from a higher level to a lower level. And that's also hinted in the name of the month Adar. Adar is a composite of two words, Aleph, that goes for God, who's Alufei Shalalem, the master of the world. And the word Dar means he dwells, he permeates and penetrates and dwells within this world. In other words, when a person's soul is revealed, that shouldn't cause a movement of escaping from this world. But on the contrary, it's to introduce godliness and to allow it to permeate every part of this world as it was in the holiday of Purim itself. In the end, not only did the decree that all the Jews will be annihilated, God forbid, did not come into actuality, but on the contrary, the Jewish people were able to continue to observe Torah and mitzvahs in a state of peace and tranquility and prosperity. Now Purim, it's true, the Jewish people were not completely redeemed. They still remained subjects to Ahasuerus, and it wasn't a complete redemption. The complete redemption is connected with the month of Nisan, when the Jews came out of Egypt, and that's the month in which it says we will ultimately be redeemed in the future. So now we could see this whole thing in the Parsha of Tetzava phrased in different words. The word vi'ata, and you, is directly speaking to Moshe. God is saying to him, instead of using his name, and you, which means his essence, which transcends his names, and you, what is the reason why your essence is being revealed? It's Tetzava es Bnei Yisrael. Literally, it means to command the children of Israel. The Rebbe explains it means to strengthen the bond that a Jewish person has to God in this world. The word Tetzava means command, but it also means to bind, that the godliness should be bound with the Jewish person as he is in this world. And that leads us to the next words, Kasis Lema'ar, the oil, the olive oil should be crushed, Lema'ar, to serve as a source of light. Doesn't say light, but the ma'ar is the source of light. We're talking about revealing the essence of the soul. And the reason for that, the objective is lahalei sner tamid, so that there's a perpetual flame, which means that the reason why our essence is being revealed is in order to illuminate the whole world. The whole world should be illuminated with godly light through the soul of every Jew. Now we can understand the two explanations that were given at the outset why Moshe Rabbeinu's name is not mentioned in the Parsha of Tetzava. As we said before, the first explanation is because it's near 7th of Adar. So it doesn't mean the 7th of Adar is a day in which he passed away, and that's why we don't mention his name, because he's no longer there, but it's because on the 7th of Adar, Moshe Rabbeinu was born. And since when he was born, that revealed his essence, which transcends names, that's why his name is not mentioned, except by referring to him in the pronoun, vi'ata, and you. And since the birth of Moshe influences all the Jewish people, that's why it makes sense that in this parasha, you should have, at least in a way of a hint, Moshe Rabbeinu's willingness to be obliterated for the sake of the Jewish people, his mesiras nefesh, his self-sacrifice for the Jewish people. And that's hinted in this parasha, where his name is not mentioned. And all this is a consequence of the fact that he was born on this day. This is the day when his essence, vi'ata, and you, your essence, was revealed. Now, to reveal the essence of the soul that expresses itself with the self-sacrifice of Jewish people, the Rebbe says was connected to a tragic event that happened in recent days, close to the time that the Rebbe said this talk. On the Thursday, the 2nd of Adar Rishon of the year Tavshin and Beis, a Jewish woman was murdered, mother of little children, and she gave her life on the sanctification of God's name. No one could possibly understand why God did this. So the only thing we could explain is the great virtue of publicly giving your life for the sanctification of God's name. And the only consolation for this event is the awakening and the singing of those who dwell in the earth, which will happen with a true and complete redemption. It is told that Rabbi Yosef Karo, the author of the Beis Yosef, the author of the Code of Jewish Law, was supposed to have died in the sanctification of God's name. And because of whatever reasons, he was punished. And the time that he was supposed to live, and he did not give his life on the sanctification of God's name, he was able to compose the classic work, the Shulchan Aruch, through which the Jewish people have received guidance in their lives throughout all the generations. Yet that was considered a punishment, because he did not merit to give his life for the sanctification of God's name. The preeminent virtue of composing a Shulchan Aruch cannot compare to the self-sacrifice giving a life for the sanctification of God's name. And that's also what happened with Moshe Rabbeinu. His greatest quality, that he was willing to be erased from the Torah, that was a greater merit than to be written in the Torah. And here we're talking, Rebbe was speaking about the event that happened in close proximity to this talk. We're talking about a woman, a mother, leaving her children, little children, behind. But in spite of all these qualities that we have gone through, the Rebbe said, it's enough Mesiras Nefesh, enough self-sacrifice for the sanctification of God's name in exile. And therefore we cry out, Ad Masai, how much longer? And even if God derives satisfaction and pleasure from the Mesiras Nefesh, the self-sacrifice, there's enough self-sacrifice that, by virtue of the fact that we're enduring even another moment in exile. We're already in exile, the Rebbe cried, for 1900 years, and Mashiach has still not arrived. We did everything, and in spite of that, another week goes by, another day, another moment, and the Geula has not yet come, and we still have to endure this pain that a woman had to give her life. The only thing that we can do to comfort ourselves is that we have to realize that this is the last event of Mesiras Nefesh, and immediately the true and complete redemption will arrive, and then we'll have the true sanctification of God's name, as it says by the prophet, V'kidashti Yishmi HaGadol, my great name will be sanctified. How so? V'lakachti Eschem and Agoyim, when I take you out of the nations. And what is the practical lesson from all of the above? That consistent with the fact that we have to reveal the essence of the soul and through that illuminate the world, we should increase in matters of Torah and mitzvahs, disseminating the fountains throughout the entire world so that we bring the true and complete redemption in actuality. And there's a special power that we receive from the fact that all these parshas that we read in the month of Adar are connected to redemption. Truma Tetzava is about the Mishkan and the sanctuary. Kisisa is about how Moshe Rabbeinu goes up, and we lift up the heads of the Jewish people, which is what will happen in the time of redemption. V'yakel Pekudei is where they actually implemented the construction of the Mishkan. V'yikra is where God calls out and reveals himself to every Jew. Tzav, the word Tzav is used only when you want to do something without any delay, with dispatch. That is a hint to the fact that the Geula comes immediately. Shemini is where the Divine Presence dwelled in the Mishkan on the eighth day of after the initiation for 7 days, which is Rosh Chodesh Nisan. The essential thing is that we shouldn't have to wait to the month of Nisan, in which it says we were redeemed and we will be redeemed in the future. But right now we get all the qualities of the month of Nisan, especially the quality of the 11th of Nisan, which is connected to the anointing of the head of the Jewish people, and to conclude our service by bringing the redemption immediately. Now a summary of the synopsis. The fact that Moshe Rabbeinu was born on the 7th of Adar is not only an atonement for his passing, but because of the day of his birth, your mazel is stronger. That means that the mazel of Moshe Rabbeinu, the leader of all the Jewish people, and by virtue of his mazel getting stronger, it's the strength of the mazel of every Jew, and that's the special quality and merit of the month of Adar and its mazel, the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu was born then. Now, what is the mazel of a Jew? It's when his source of his soul is revealed, and revealed within the body. And the day that Moshe Rabbeinu was born, the essence of his soul, which transcends every name, was revealed. Now, there were two reasons why Moshe Rabbeinu's name is not mentioned in the Parsha of Tetzava. One is because it's in close proximity to the seventh of Adar in which he passed away. Number two, because Moshe asked that his name should be erased from the Torah if the Jews are not forgiven. Now, the question the Rebbe asked, the seventh of Adar is also the day he was born, so why omit his name? Number two, Moshe Rabbeinu's request to be erased is not mentioned until the next Parsha of Kisisa. So the Rebbe explains that the reason why his name is not mentioned in Parsha Tetzava is because he was born, not because he passed away, but because he was born in this month, and because when you're born, the essence of your soul is revealed, that transcends your name. And that's why his name is not mentioned, but instead, Vi'ata, it says you, talking about Moshe Rabbeinu's essence. And Moshe Rabbeinu's essence gave the power for Jewish people to be able to give their lives for the sanctification of God's name, just like Moshe Rabbeinu was willing to give his life for the Jewish people. And that's the connection between these two explanations, because since it's Moshe Rabbeinu's essence that caused him to be prepared to give his life, that's why his name is not mentioned, because he transcended the idea of the name, and that's what gave him his Mesiras Nefesh. And all this is connected, the Rebbe said, to the tragedy that happened of a Jewish woman who gave her life for the sanctification of God's name in recent days. This itself is even higher than the composition of the Shulchan Aruch, the Code of Jewish Law. But nevertheless, with all of its greatness, we're demanding that the Geula should come with Tchias HaMeisim, with the resurrection of the dead, because we already discussed it with Golus. And the Rebbe concludes, HaMasehu HaIkar, the deed is the essential thing that we should increase in the learning of Torah and observance of mitzvahs. And number two, we should increase especially in the dissemination of Torah and Judaism and the fountains of Torah in order to actualize the complete redemption. Some highlights of what the Rebbe said in this talk. Since we understand that the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu said, erase me from your book, is connected to the seventh of Adar, the day in Moshe was born, which is the day of his essence, which is connected to the essence of Israel, that is the reason why he was able to have this self-sacrifice and ask God to erase it from his book. And that's why his name is not mentioned in Tetzava, which we read in close proximity to the day he was born. But on the contrary, instead of having only his name, it's Vi'ata, and you, your essence, that transcends the name. And the Rebbe said, the Jewish people are already in exile more than 1900 years, and Mashiach Tzidkenu, our righteous Mashiach, has not yet come. We already completed everything that we have to do associated with the time of exile. Everything has been done in every imaginable way. We also had Simcha, joy in the month of Adar for 60 days. And we don't know what more can we do. Another week has gone by, another day, another moment, and the true and complete redemption has not come in actuality. And to read from the excerpts of the book, Psuras HaGeula, the announcement of Geula, which the Rebbe highlights the aspects of Mashiach, some of which we already mentioned. Further, the Rebbe says, and this is essential, to cry to God about the length of the exile, Ad Masai, until when, or how much longer, and to beseech and entreat and do everything possible that the true and complete redemption through a righteous Mashiach will come imminently and immediately. The Jewish people find themselves in exile already more than 1900 years, and a righteous Mashiach has still not come. All the divine service of exile has already been completed, and we have already done everything in every way possible, including in particular the rejoicing of the month of Adar for 60 days. It's unknown what else is to be done. Nevertheless, another week, another day, another moment has passed, and still the true and complete redemption has not yet come in actual reality.